want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D&Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Ooh. Local, loyal, and ready to spend. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Let's talk about how we can increase your foot traffic or get people to visit your website. Email us today and or message us on our socials so we can find the best packages for you. You can hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
Ayo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight.
Yes, we do.
The Jets win. Lupus wins. Brian Kelly gets canned, and Adam Silver's got some splaining to do. But we'll begin today's show with, hey, they played two last night. The Dodgers outlasted the Blue Jays in Game 3 of the World Series to take a 2-1 lead in 18 innings last night. This series has had everything so far. We've had starting pitching. We've had bullpen, very good bullpen play. We've had plays at the plate, extra innings, home runs, etc. So as they begin tonight, and Ohtani takes the mound, he just got out of the first inning. Did the extra inning game last night ruin the Blue Jays' chances of winning the World Series?
No. Their chances of winning the World Series drastically went down when George Springer could not post.
Yeah.
So
seventh inning, got hurt. He's got a oblique kind of side injury. And
we'll see you next year, George. That's not one you can shoot up and try to play through. Right?
No.
That's not happening.
I've strained my oblique before, and it is awful.
Ugh.
You can't even shit.
You can't breathe. You can't push when you shit. You can't do anything.
Can't breathe.
Can't do anything. So, yeah. Good luck trying to replace that. Yeah, I get you have guys like Barger. I get you have guys like Schneider. I get you have Varsho.
Schneider.
But
you don't have another George Springer.
You don't replace George Springer. Not this late in the
former
game, man.
MVP.
You don't. But credit to the Blue Jays. You know, they put belt to ass in game one. Like, they did exactly what they should have done. They came out swinging. They caught the Dodgers on their heels a little bit. The grand slam. Alejandro Kirk with the big home run, the big two-run jack. And you get to game two, right? What do you fear as a Dodger fan? You fear that bullpen. You fear having to dip into that bullpen. And what happens? Yamamoto throws a complete game. So there you go. Fuck the bullpen. I got this, guys. Yamamoto probably said that. I don't know. Like, stay in the fucking dugout, Dave. I got this, bitches. Let's go. And then you get to last night. You get to an 18-inning affair. Essentially, there, if they do get to Game 7, it'll actually be Game 8 because of the length of last night. You had bullpen. You had some lockdown bullpen work from the Dodgers and the Blue Jays alike. Some strategery, not pitching to Ohtani, walking Ohtani with the bases empty to pitch to Mookie Betts, and it worked. It fucking worked. He's getting the Barry Bonds treatment. And Freddie Freeman does what Freddie Freeman does. He's the only player in Major League history to have two walk-off World Series homers.
My man. Hall of Famer? Freddie Freeman Hall of Famer?
He's close. I think he's definitely in the conversation. He's not...
The World Series MVP helps him, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I don't think...
Nine-time All-Star. Two MVPs.
Silver Slugger, probably, I believe. At least one Silver Slugger. Yeah, I would say he's cuspy.
Like, 300 average.
Yeah, he probably needs a little bit more on the homers and ribbies just for first base comps. Mm-hmm. But he's on his way. He's definitely on his way. My problem is with how they're pitching. It's not so much that they are choosing to walk Ohtani now. But when you were pitching to Ohtani, you're grooving shit right down the middle of the fucking plate. Of course he's taking you deep. Twice. Mm-hmm. Of course he is. Center cut, batting practice fastball. Of course Freddie Freeman's taking you deep.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching is a lost art. Up, down, in, out, slow, fast. Knock him off his spot. That's not done anymore. And even locating, right? Locating is not... It's not as commonplace as it once was. In this day of, I throw 101 and I'm going to try and throw it by you every goddamn time. My fastball is as straight as a string. Seriously flawed logic. Seriously flawed strategy. Seriously flawed fundamentals. Mm. And there needs to be, right? We talked about this a couple weeks ago when the Mets were knocked out and they didn't even make the playoffs. Like, be the team that says, fuck the analytics, we're going nine. That's what it is. We're going deep. I don't give a shit. Third, fourth, eighth time around the order. We're going as long as we fucking need to. The Dodgers are bucking trends. They're pitching inside. Look at George Springer. Hit game one. Got hit in the hand, I believe. Ooh. Or game two, he got hit in the hand. So they're willing to pitch inside. They're willing to make the Blue Jay hitters uncomfortable. Dodger hitters don't look uncomfortable. They never look uncomfortable. No one disrespects them, right? No, nobody pitches inside to them. Nobody takes them off their spot, right? Everybody defers to them. This is still competition, right? And it's still legal. It is absolutely legal to pitch inside. It's absolutely legal to make Shohei Ohtani move his feet. It's absolutely legal to make Freddie Freeman think about it. It's a flawed strategy, and you know what? Cowering in fear and walking Ohtani every time he's up, that's not a great strategy either, because now you're putting runners on base for Betts. You're putting a runner on base for Freeman. And guess what? Shohei Ohtani does this thing. What's it called? He steals bases.
He does.
He fucking steals bases. Not as many as he did last year, but he's running again. He is running. And now he's pitching too. So he's doing it fucking all. He's doing it all. So I think the Blue Jays are delaying the inevitable. Like, I had the Blue Jays in six. I had the Dodgers in six, excuse me. So, you had a gentleman sweep. So, you're
sticking
close.
With that.
You're close. You're still in line. Both of us are still in line to be correct. We shall see. But they need to be able, the Blue Jays need to be able to pitch with these guys. They've proven, they've shown that they can hit with them.
Uh-huh.
So, it boils down to pitching. And yeah, like, I can run, if I'm the Dodgers, I can run Tyler Glasnow, Rookie Sasaki, Clayton Kershaw. I can run them out in one game.
Yeah, Kershaw was having a tough time yesterday.
He was, but I can still, I can rely on the fact that I've had a multiple time Cy Young Award winner coming out of my bullpen. Like, that's an embarrassment of riches. The Blue Jays, you're looking at Little, right? You're looking at, you know, Fluhardy, like, come on now. They don't match up. That's not right. That pales in comparison to what's coming out of the Dodger bullpen. So, delaying the inevitable is all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is I would tip my hat to both bullpens, who pretty much pitched 11 innings of shutout. You know, from the seventh to the 18th inning, that was pretty impressive. The thing that the problem is that I would assume that Blue Jay bullpen is tired. We have to see what happens tonight. If I'm the coach of the Blue Jays, I would have told Bieber, man, you're throwing 100 pitches, man. I don't care if they hit, if they score 7 runs on you in the second inning. You gotta throw 100 pitches. Just do your best. Try to get me to the 7th inning. You gotta get to the 6th or the 7th inning. If we're gonna have a chance in this series, I gotta let these guys rest because they have another game tomorrow. So my whole thing is I'm pretty much telling Bieber, you've got the game until the 7th or 8th inning or 100 pitches, whichever comes first. And I'm going to single out 2 guys in the bullpen. I'm like, guys, I need you to give me an inning each, and you're my guys. And again, you could pitch 50 pitches in that inning. I'm leaving you in because if we're going to have a chance in this, I got to have us rested for the games 5, and then we'll get the rest going home, and we'll figure it out from there.
Well, I'm looking at it with Schneider. It's a very interesting way that
I wouldn't pitch to Ohtani though, man. I'm telling you, like last night
they can't pitch to Ohtani because they're not pitching.
Last night it was home run double, 4 intentional walks, and then a walk. I mean, he got on base 9 times.
I mean, they're daring Mookie Betts to beat him.
They're Barry Bondsing him, and then he's pitching. So, I'm not pitching to him. I need everybody else to beat us. And like you said, Mookie Betts is hitting like shit. Freddie Freeman, honestly, is only batting .231. He did hit the home run to win the game, but he hasn't been. The top of the order has not been hitting well. So, you're right. They can hit with them. They can, and Toronto does it in a very cute way because they get on base. They're not hitting home runs. They're hitting floaters. They're hitting it up the middle. They're getting on base, and that's well and good and fine, and that's great. But I will talk about it for the 100th time. It's the reliever that comes in and now must face Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. That's a problem. That's a problem.
Well, the guy I'm tabbing, if I'm John Schneider, I'm going to Chris Bassitt. I'm saying, you're a fucking starter. Give me more than 1 inning. I've been using you as my setup guy. You're giving me bulk today. Here, put the ball in his shoe. Here you go. Like, you're the next guy coming out of the bullpen. You're giving me length today. Come hell or high water, you are going to be the guy. Because Chris Bassitt can do it. Chris Bassitt can absolutely do it. We've seen it.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair. I think it's fair. He's up for the challenge. I think he would take it on and want to do it. So, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And like I do appreciate the fact as well that they're putting Bo Bichette as the DH now. Now, I think that is going to – it's not going to replace George Springer, but it's going to keep him out of the field, which is going to keep him fresh. Because, you know, you're still not sure about his injury. And
he's
keeps
hurt.
His bat in the lineup.
He's hurt. I hope the Braves go after him in the offseason. That'd be great. I'd love him on my team. But, yeah, I mean – this is what it is. It is what it is. But interesting enough, with the Dodgers in the World Series and the Knicks having their opening night last week, there are a lot of interesting couples attending the games. We had Justin Herbert and Megan Beer were at the World Series, while Aaron Judge and his wife, Samantha Braxic, were in attendance for the Knicks opener. So, Z, if you were going to either the Knicks season opener or Game 3 of the World Series, which game would you go to? And if you could bring any girl, of course, not your fiance, not your wife, who will you bring into the game? Who are they going to catch you with courtside? Who are they going to catch you with in the third row?
You're trying to get me in trouble here. Oh my God! I mean,
hey man, I mean we're in the public eye. Sometimes we have to go to these events, and our significant other might not be available. But you got to look good when you're in the stands.
And we're not talking about a Coldplay situation. Okay, good. It's not going to be like that. But the Justin Herbert Madison Beer thing, man, it's just like he became a meme. He became a fucking meme already. Because you know what, Herbert, he's a chivalrous dude. He's a chivalrous dude. That's all I'm going to say. Now, you know, as a guy of a certain age, I might skew a certain age myself. First thing that comes to mind is Drew Barrymore.
Okay.
I'd shoot that shot. Absolutely would shoot that shot. It's why not? Like, you know, I've had many a crush in my day when I was growing up. Drew Barrymore was at the top of that list. Jennifer Love Hewitt. was at the top. Oh. Was near the top of that list. So,
and what game are you going to Jennifer Love Hewitt? What game are you going with her?
That's tough.
She seems like a baseball girl.
I gotta say, I mean, personally, the World Series is like, it's a bucket list item. Like, I've never been. I want to go. It would suck that it's Blue Jays Dodgers. Like, it sucks that my team is not there.
So take your to the Knicks.
No, I'm not
going
to go to the Knicks.
No.
Unless I'm, you know, I'm, the only way I'm going to the Knicks game is if I'm getting a press comp. That's the only way I'm going to a Knicks game.
Which we're working on.
Slowly but surely we're working on that. But I got to say, it's a bucket list item to go to the World Series. You know what? I've been to Dodger Stadium already. Take me to the Rogers Center. I have not been. Like, it's on my bucket list to go to all of the ballparks. Blue Jays have not had the pleasure yet. So if I can indulge in this moment, sorry, babe. I'm either Jennifer Love Hewitt or Drew Barrymore. Either or, flip a coin, doesn't matter. And I will go to the Rogers Center to catch the World Series. Now, what about you?
All right, so first up for me, it's a nostalgic thing, and it works because she's a California girl, but it's Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yes!
And we are going to the Dodgers. We're going to the World Series. I got to meet her. It would have never worked out between us. She's a type A personality. But that's cool. Met her husband. Her husband's awesome. No envy on him. Brady Smith is the man.
Brady's cool. Hi, Brady. Welcome.
He does great art. He writes children's books. I mean, he's just better. He's better than me in every way. So it's all good. I'm happy for her. I'm happy. I'm even happier for him. Because from what I understand, he never even watched Saved by the Bell. He didn't even know she was in that shit.
That's awesome.
Even better. That's fucking great.
That's awesome. He knew her from 90210? Like what?
I guess so. I think they met on a show. I think she was on Suits or something like that.
White Collar, probably.
Yeah, White Collar. That was a good show. Like, I think that's how they met. But my man. I think he's the coolest guy ever, so good for him.
And her content, her cooking content
is spot on. Oh my gosh, she's great. She's a great cook.
Excellent.
And she's still gorgeous. She's 51 years old. I don't even care that she's 10 years older than me. That does not matter.
Age is just a number, my friend.
It does not matter.
No.
Next, you're catching me at the Nick game with Kylie Jenner. So half my age plus 7, she's 28, I'm 41. It's all good, baby. It's all good. If she could sit courtside with Timothy Chalamet, she could sit courtside with me. And then last but not least, again, she headed up the game for today, and that's Sydney Sweeney. Me and her going to the World Series. Again, 28 years old, half my age plus 7, works. And we're going to have a great time. Yep. That's mine. That's my list.
All right, fine. Those if you're three doing, for you me. Know what? If you're going, if you're,
you get three, picking, man. You get three.
If you're picking people for both, I'm gonna pick people for both. All right. It's gonna be the Knicks season opener.
Knicks season opener. I gotta have Kylie, and I'd even take Kendall. Kendall is gorgeous too, but I'll go with Kylie.
That's gonna be a tough one, you know. That's because you definitely want. Somebody who is going to you don't want somebody who's just there to be seen, right? It's not like, you know.
Well, see, the whole thing is when you go to a baseball game, I picture the baseball cap.
Yes,
you're gonna wear a hoodie or a zip up, and you know we're gonna have popcorn, hot dogs, soda, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going to the Knicks game, I'm dressing down. I'm gonna look good sitting in the front row. I expect you to look good sitting in the front row. Like that's the kind of look you gotta embody. I'm drinking alcohol, maybe a bourbon. I'm not gonna be, you know, sipping on a soda or having a beer, like baseball beer. You know, it's very outdoorsy, it's very open, it's very casual. Where the Knicks game is, we're showing up and showing off.
For basketball, I want a psycho fan. Like, I want somebody who's,
okay.
like, into
You're
it.
Into if I'm, that. You're if into I, that, right? That's
yeah.
cool.
So, if I want, you know, at a baseball game, you want to, you know. Just
You want
just,
a tame person?
Not tame. not tame, but you fit the aesthetic, right? It's a national pastime. It's a little chill. You have your moments, but then again, it comes right back down.
Oh,
but,
so you want to get escorted out of the Knick game. You want them yelling at the,
oh,
the
hell
players.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's absolutely, and I think Aubrey Plaza might be the one to do it.
Yes, you might get arrested.
I might get arrested. I might absolutely get arrested. But you know what? She's
like,
got the scratch to bail us out.
You can't say that here. Not even here. You can't say that.
Jesus. Jesus Christ, you're going to get me killed.
That's a good one. I like her. She's fun.
She's fun.
Crazy.
She's great on The White Lotus.
She is. She's a great actress.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
What's not fun is the Cowboys losing 44-24 against the Broncos on Sunday, which Bo Nix had four passing touchdowns in that game, and he seems a perfect fit for Sean Payton's offense. But, you know, he's part of that 2024 draft class. So we're two years removed from it. Last year was their rookie year. This year is their, you know, second year in the NFL. So who are we thinking is the best quarterback to come out of that draft class? So you got Daniels, you've got May, you've got Bo Nix, and the list goes on and on.
Right. So, you know, he looks like he fits this week.
Ooh,
right?
Okay.
Because the past few weeks, we've been saying that Bo Nix is not
up
having
and down.
A great year. Up and
He's
down.
Up and down.
Absolutely.
He's
up
and
down.
Down.
Now, you look at Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is getting better, but there needed to be a coaching change because last year he was not great. Jaden Daniels.
Last week was not great.
Last week was not great, but he's shown
still. After a bye week, you go into Baltimore and you play like dog shit. Again, the issue with him is he's missing wide open receivers. The guys are running open with their hands up and you're fucking missing them. You can't miss that after a bye week.
No. No, you can't.
You know,
but
Steve,
you know what?
Steve used to always say, I don't want it here. I don't want it here. I want it right here. Right here. Right in the chest. That's where you should put the ball every time.
But also, you have to give a little bit of credit to the Baltimore Ravens because, you know what? They're not playing like it's over. Like, they didn't play like it was. They didn't pack it in. And,
well,
but,
they
and
do, they,
my thing is this. Where has Snoop Huntley been the entire fucking time?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Listen, I'm a Ravens fan, but they duped Chicago big time because they had Lamar practicing all week. He didn't. He was questionable all week. Then all of a sudden, I think it was on Saturday night, he's out. They signed Snoop, and Snoop starts on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have nothing to prove this, but something tells me Snoop knew he was starting earlier in the week because he came in and he played like lights out. I mean, he was better. And the other thing is like he was better than Cooper Rush.
But that's my thing. You can run the exact same offense you run with Lamar Jackson with Snoop Huntley. Why the fuck are you fucking around with Cooper Rush? Why would you?
I'll tell you right now why. Because if Snoop plays again this year, it ain't going to look that good. You had a Chicago team that was preparing all week. Actually, last week they prepared for Cooper Rush. This week they prepared for Lamar Jackson. And then the 24 hours before the game, you get hit with the Snoop Huntley. You don't know what you're getting. You don't know what they're going to be running. You know the plays, but the way Snoop runs it, the way Cooper runs it, and the way Lamar runs it are all different, you know? And they put credit hats off to the Ravens offense, but they put the Ravens defense, or no, the Ravens offense, they put Snoop into good positions to make plays and to not mess it up.
And so that's what you get.
But you open up your entire offensive catalog with a guy like Snoop because he's mobile like Lamar. Cooper Rush is a drop back passer. He's more like a Dak Prescott. Like that, you're limiting yourself. So if you had this opportunity, it doesn't make sense to me in that division to not go with a guy like Snoop, at least for a few weeks, right? You're not going for the entire year with Snoop. He's a backup. He's going to get exposed. But Cooper Rush got exposed, right? This division, it ain't that great this year. Like we're on record, both of us. It ain't that great this year. The Browns have a top five defense. They're dog shit on offense, right? They're 2-6. The fucking Bengals just lost to the Jets, which is unforgivable, right? And then the Steelers just got beat by the Packers. Okay, they actually lost to a credible opponent, but they're not running away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you get hot, some things happen, you could end up back in this thing, but you didn't do yourself any favors if you're John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens if you didn't give yourself the best opportunity to win. But to go back to what we were talking about here, Jaden Daniels had the best of last year because he was in the NFC title game, played lights out, got hurt, and now he's still recovering from that injury clearly because he got hurt again.
Yeah.
Right? Michael Penix Jr., also out hurt, kind of up and down. He's okay. He's not really wowing me. He has good relation. He has a good chemistry with London. He has a good... You know, he has a good way about him, but it feels unfinished, and it feels like that offense in Atlanta needs to be unlocked a little bit. That's probably not his fault. That's probably the schmucks that are running the show down there. JJ McCarthy, fuck all, JJ McCarthy, right? Like, injured again, and now Carson Wentz is out for the year, so JJ's got to play.
Carson Wentz was playing with a torn labrum from his left shoulder. That is so painful.
Yeah.
That is so painful. Hats off to him for giving a shot, but I'd say it's a wrap for him, right?
He's done. No, he's done.
Yeah. It's sad. It really is, because he had a chance. I mean, the Vikings are studded. They have all the skilled positions. And, man, you can't throw a touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. I could go outside right now and throw a touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. I don't care who I'm lining up against. Man, you can't get it done, man.
Yeah, well, you know. And he was robbed of his career by that back injury, because lest we forget, he was in the running for MVP that year before he got hurt.
Yes, he was.
There is no Jalen Hurts if you have a healthy Carson Wentz. I'd say that's a pretty safe bet. I'd say Doug Peter, there's a freaking butterfly effect from that hit, right? Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt. Maybe Nick Foles doesn't come in. Well, definitely Nick Foles doesn't come in. Maybe you don't win that Super Bowl, right? Maybe Doug Peterson doesn't survive that. Maybe, you know, there's so many things. You can go back to that point in time with Carson Wentz and you say, like, shit, man. It's like Alex Smith. Certain things didn't happen to certain people, right? That could be a fascinating segment on its own, pinpointing, like, do a little Doc Brown shit and just kind of like bring the sports almanac back to 55, you know, some craziness. But Bo Nix has been up and down. I like Drake May, man. I like Drake May a lot. Like, he checks the boxes for me as far as what a quarterback is, steadily improving. Vrabel and May have turned that ship around up in New England, and they look like they are on track. And
crazy, right? Because they go from like Mac Jones to then Drake May,
and Mac Jones wasn't playing that bad either.
It just seems like their quarterback drought is over. It seems like they found their guy
quickly.
Right? He's got 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's throwing a beautiful deep ball. They don't have a talent at receiver or tight end. They have, I'd say, B+. And he's getting it done.
Yeah,
they are competing for first place in the division, I'd say.
Oh, no, without a doubt. So who's your guy? Or is it also Drake May? Or?
So to me, Bo Nix has been up and down. Like, I think it's great how he played against the Cowboys, and it's great what he did the week before. But I saw him play against the Jets. I've seen him have three terrible quarters, and then even against the Giants, three terrible quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, he turns it on. You know, there's a part of me. I'm not trying to. I like the guy. I do. I like him, and I think he's got all the talent in the world. But there's a part of me that thinks that maybe in 4 years he's a backup on the Raiders. Like, I don't know. I just kind of see this falling apart at some point. Like, is he going to be this good if Sean Payton's not there? I have a lot of questions about his play. Michael Penix Jr. He's got an injury history, and I've seen him play, and he's. It's amazing how he turns his hips and whips that ball out and gets it to where he wants to go. I don't know if that's sustainable in the NFL because, again, you don't always play every game 100%. And I can just foresee injuries, maybe not lingering, maybe not injuries that keep you out of the game, but injuries preventing you from throwing the ball the way you need to throw the ball. Caleb Williams, it's just not working, man. I'm going to go back to what we said a couple weeks ago. It's not clicking. It's not clicking the way it should be clicking at this point. And again, he's missing wide open guys. It reminds me of Daniel Jones in his last year at the Giants, where he's throwing it at people's feet. He's sailing it. He's throwing it out of bounds. It's like, man, you got to put it here, right here, in the chest, in the numbers. You got to give our guys a chance. And again, another guy that's got all the talent. I mean, Rome Odunze. And then he's got, what's his name?
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore. Like, you got guys. The tight end, Loveland's not even getting any burn. Cole Kmet's hurt. But it's like, come on, man. Like, you got to get this done. You aren't getting it done the way you should be getting it done. So, I watched Bill Simmons' podcast this week, and he was talking about he thinks Drake May throws the most beautiful deep ball he's ever seen. I wouldn't go that far.
That's a little much.
That's a little out there, Bill. I get that you're in love with him, and you're happy that you guys, the Patriots have got their guy. But I'm saying right now, if you're giving me the choice of all these guys, Drake May might be the guy because, he's 6'4". 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's running the offense. He's consistent. He's consistent. Whether it's, I wouldn't not say good or bad, but he's not missing guys the way these other clowns are missing guys. Like, and he's running the offense. He's keeping a good head on his shoulders. So, yeah, I'd say Drake May seems to be, that's the other thing. I feel like Drake May is their guy. I would find it hard to believe that this guy could fall off a cliff next year. And that he wouldn't be starting for the New England Patriots.
You get him a wide receiver at the trade deadline, all of a sudden they become very dangerous.
And I don't even know if they need that. I think with Zaboot, Booty?
Booty's good. I think you need another guy.
You got Diggs, right? Diggs is there.
Diggs is there, but Diggs is not the same guy he was. He's getting older.
The Patriots were always their best when they had balance. The years they had Randy Moss and Wes Welker, they never won. They got to the Super Bowl. They got the AFC Championship game. They didn't win. So, when you had balance, when you got Mitchell as your receiver.
Matt Collins, I think, is on this team, too.
Hogan as your receiver. All of a sudden, you're beating people.
They need a 5'11 white dude.
Yeah,
that's it. Amendola, Welker, Edelman, Hogan. Come on. They cornered the market on the 5'11.
Hogan was a lacrosse player.
Unbelievable.
A lacrosse player.
You need a 5'11 white dude. Call it a day. Like, that is it, and that is all. That's going to unlock the next dynasty in New England history, right? The Patriot reign will return with the return of the short white wide receiver.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know. You'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Brian Kelly, speaking of guys that are not returning.
Short white receivers?
Well, he's short a job. So there you go. Brian Kelly was let go by LSU after getting waxed by Texas A&M 49-25 in Death Valley. Now he's going to go home and be with his family. He's the latest high-profile head coach to get fired this year, joining Mike Gundy, Trent Dilfer, Deshaun Foster, James Franklin, and Billy Napier on the unemployment line. And that's not even all of them. Those are just the most high-profile guys. But with a $54 million buyout, I'm sure he's really broken up about this.
Shit.
To quote the great Bret Hart's favorite wrestler, Bill Goldberg, who's next?
Yeah, so, I mean, 34-14 record in 2.5 season in Baton Rouge. It just never worked, right? It didn't work from the start.
Nah.
I mean, him coming out and saying, Tigers.
Family. Bro, you know where you're from.
It just didn't work. I would assume that Lane Kiffin's going to get that job, right? You think Lane Kiffin's going to go to LSU?
Possibly.
From Ole Miss to LSU?
I think they have a history of going from Saban to Les Miles to Coach O.
That's a pretty impressive, you know, paying somebody $54 million to not come back.
Between him and James Franklin?
You know, you get these buyouts. You're like, man, can you pay me not to even apply for your job? Like, to have that much money? I'm wondering how the carousel is going to shake out. I'm thinking Gruden might go to Florida.
Interesting.
Florida, right? Maybe.
Makes sense.
Franklin will get a job. Maybe UCLA.
Possibly. I mean, Texas could be available. Texas could be available because Sarkisian already said that he might be willing to go to the NFL if the right job is available. So Texas may come calling for some of these guys too.
You know, believe it or not, you know, Brian Kelly kind of seems like an NFL coach, like a dickhead. That's the other thing. You know, like, the other thing is with him is, like, you would, if he was just a little nicer or a little bit more gracious, he might have been able to stay, you know? But he's such a turd, and he's so, like, demeaning and condescending that I'm sure there are a lot of people that are happy he's gone. And I haven't heard about anybody decommitting to LSU today. So it means that him leaving does not affect them at all. They're still going to go there. Where a lot of times when a coach gets fired, like James Franklin, or you get a lot of decommits. You get like, well, I was going there because the coach was there. I don't think it's going to happen in this situation. I think people that were going to LSU were going to LSU to play at LSU, not necessarily to, you know, play for him. I've never been impressed with him as a coach. I've never been impressed with his pitching style. So, I mean, his coaching style. So, have at it, Oz. I do think he gets another job, but I'm not surprised that it didn't work out at LSU.
When you're looking at this, you have to start thinking about cachet of the organization, right? You have to start thinking about, like, expectations. And to me, I don't care how successful they are. If they don't win a national title, Kalen DeBoer is probably going to get canned. I don't care how good you are. Nick Saban delivered rings. If you're not going to deliver rings to the Alabama Crimson Tide, you're probably going to be looking for a new job. So you're going to be looking at that. Dan Lanning out in Oregon. Expectations are high. If you do not deliver, the board of trustees are eventually going to be like, dude, you have a ceiling. We need to get somebody else who's going to go above that ceiling. Now, I wonder, and this is a bigger picture issue because, you know, $49 million for Franklin, $54 million for Brian Kelly. Like, you wonder if there's going to be a little bit of a sea change in how coaches get paid.
has to be, right?
There has to be.
It's like 10-year deals they're getting, and 8-year deals, and 9-year deals, and they're not even making it out of year 2 and 3.
Fucking ridiculous. You know, like
so much money. Like, is there that lack of ability to get coaches? I mean, are they
good
that?
Ones?
I guess, but how good are you if you only last in 2 years?
That's fair. I mean, Kurt Cignetti just got paid. Like, he just got banked in Indiana.
Yeah, they had to pay him.
Yeah.
They had to pay him, or he was going to be gone. They'd 100%. Be losing his ass.
Yeah. And I wonder if this is leverage for Deion. You know? Like, I mean, he's not really... I mean, he's doing all right. He's not doing fantastic, but he's got eyeballs on the program. So, he could... And, you know, there's always the lure of a bigger name school, right? There's always Texas. Oh, I can go there. Or Florida. I can go there. Florida State. You're telling me Deion wouldn't want to go coach his alma mater? Like, I think the lure is strong. Then there's always the NFL. There's always the opportunity for leverage. But these numbers are just so fucking absurd that it would not surprise me whatsoever if there is a change in the way that coaches and schools are doing business. Because it's absurd. Like, who's going to keep what board of trustees is going to keep paying out those numbers, right?
Where are you getting all the money from?
I don't know. You know, generationally wealthy people who we do not know and we're not in the rooms with. That's on us. We got to get in these rooms.
Yeah.
But like LSU, I mean, LSU is going to be fine. Like, they're a blue blood in the SEC. They're a blue blood in college football. They'll find their guy, right? Whether it's Lane Kiffin or, you know, maybe they would kick the tires and see if Saban would want to come back. Like, they, you know, that I don't think that coaching ever leaves a guy like Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. I think for the right position, the right offer, he might listen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just untenable. At this point, it's just untenable. And I think Gundy will eventually get another shot. Maybe not this go around, maybe in like a year or two. I think somebody will go to Gundy because he was the coach for like 20 years at Oklahoma State. They were constantly in the mix. They didn't win anything, but they were constantly, you know, they were constantly ranked. They were constantly doing okay. So I think he might get an opportunity. Unfortunately, James Franklin's going to get hired again, and he's going to dupe another good team, another good program into thinking he's something special. James Franklin is merely okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he is.
Yeah.
Like,
think about, you know, he was at Vanderbilt, I believe, before. He was at Vanderbilt before he was at Penn State. You're racking shit up at Vanderbilt. The expectations are low at Vanderbilt. You know? They're not exactly, you know, they're not Alabama. They're not even Nebraska. So a guy like Scott Frost wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me whatsoever. Because eventually results have to come. But I wish somebody, to go back to what you said, I wish somebody would pay me to go away. Like, dude, I would... Give me the... My number isn't nearly as high as these guys. I'll go away for much cheaper. I'll go away forever. I promise. Just give me some of that, and I'll set my family up for life. Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
Well, another thing that's not going away is the NBA gambling scandal. So the United States Senate has asked Adam Silver and the NBA to turn over all their details on their gambling investigations. Senator Ted Cruz, Lion Ted, heads up the Committee on Science, Commerce, and Transportation, and is calling into question the integrity of the NBA. Z, am I wrong? Will this be part of a documentary someday?
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely will be. It's a 30 for 30 waiting to happen. Probably a three-part series because there's a shit ton of stuff that we have not gotten to yet. We are still in only Act 1, right? Because the Mafia was involved. You have Chauncey Billups involved, who is an actual honest-to-goodness contracted NBA head coach. You have an honest-to-goodness NBA player in Terry Rozier, who is not just... He's not just some scrub. Like, he's a decent player in this league. You have a former retired player and coach.
Coach. You have a coach. Fucking coach.
So you have an assistant coach. And then at a different table, Ty Lue was there. So this is all very, very interesting. And apparently it was arranged and it pulls into the NFL now because where was this held? Apparently it was arranged and held at Antonio Gates' house.
Oh, God.
What the fuck is going on? So, this is some palace intrigue that we're going to get a made-for-TV movie. We're going to get a documentary. We're going to get a courtroom drama. We're going to get it all. And I don't think we're anywhere close to the end of it. But here's the thing. What the hell do you expect when you get in bed with gambling? You go to bed with dogs, you end up with fleas. This is absolutely expected. And if you didn't think this was going to happen, you're an idiot. You're a goddamn
right,
idiot.
Exactly.
You're a goddamn idiot.
What did you expect?
But, you know.
And you're letting college players bet on professional sports. And then they're eventually going to become fucking professional players.
Right.
And what, are they just going to kick it? Oh, that's it. I'm a pro now. Can't do this anymore. Like, what are you talking about, man?
And the Rozier thing is so weird.
The Rozier thing is so bad. Apparently he was in tax trouble.
It's like a $23 million tax lien or something like that. And then, like, he was cutting bets. Like, it was like 200 grand. It was for, you know, he's shaving minutes for like a 200 grand prop bet. Like, dude, what the fuck? You know, between that and Class A bouncing two pitches to hook his boys up with a prop bet. Like, what did you think was going to happen? What in God's name did you think? And Adam Silver, you know, like, you're going to have to fucking sing for your supper here because allegedly you. What was this investigation? Did you do it? No. Okay. I believe you. I looked into his eyes and I knew deep down in his soul that he was telling the truth. But are you fucking kidding me? What kind of Keystone Cop Barney Fife bullshit were you doing when you were running your alleged investigation? That's what I'd like to know. Because, yeah, if the FBI got involved and the FBI took these guys down, you had to know something. You're telling me you don't have good PIs. You're telling me you don't have good lawyers. I think you're full of it. The NBA is very, very well protected.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Is like, did you do your investigation and come up empty-handed? Or did you do your investigation and bury it? I think that's what Ted Cruz is trying to find out. Like, how much do you know? And what other investigations are you doing right now terribly?
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, I mean, look at the Tim Donaghy thing. Like, if they if you find out that refs are on the take again, forget it. I mean, like, the suspicion is already spilling into other sports. I mean, Eagles on Sunday, people are like, those calls were so blatantly bad, you know?
But the problem becomes because you've entered gambling into the scenario. Everybody who's lost money is going to want damages.
Yeah.
They're going to sue your league. Your league is going to fold because you're going to have to pay an absurd amount of money for damages for all the people that lost money betting on your sport that was fucking compromised.
That's completely, you know? And if they find he was culpable, if they find that he buried it, he cannot survive this. They have to clean house.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing. Is like, if he comes... if if he comes up and shows them, I found nothing. Well, dude, you, this is reckless. Like, what do you mean you found nothing? I wasn't even trying, and this is what I found. You know? That's the other thing that's going to happen. Is it's like, what kind of shoddy investigation are you running? Did you watch this Terry Rozier tape? And you found nothing? You thought this was a good basketball play? He removing himself a couple of minutes into the game and not coming back because there was over-unders that he wasn't going to hit? Like, you know, you're just, you know, it's not looking good. It's not looking good.
No.
It's not going away either. No. And I like how he's trying to put this on the government. He's trying to put, Adam Silver is trying to flip this that there needs to be better things in play from the government. What are you talking about? You're the one that brought all this gambling bullshit into sports. You were the one pushing for it. Team in Vegas. You wanted to do the G League in Vegas. You wanted to do all this stuff, and you wanted to legalize betting in the NBA. Well, guess what, dude? You got it. And NBA players, I don't know this for a fact. They just seem like they play a lot of cards. They do a lot of gambling. Remember, Michael Jordan had a gambling problem. Had to go play baseball for a couple of years.
Well, right? It's the stuff of legend. What Michael Jordan used to do, you know, like how he used to bet on the golf course. It was like nothing. It was absolutely like nothing. So this is it, man. This is back when it was in the shadows. Like, okay. Like, you had some plausible deniability. But now you wear this shit on your person, right? You have FanDuel. You have DraftKings. They're the official sponsors of your league. Like, you can't run away from this. And you can't blame the government for it when you yourself were petitioning for it to happen. So basically, you're self-owning, right? Because the government agrees with you. They allowed legalized or relaxed sports betting. They did what you asked. So he can't, if he is found culpable, or if he somehow buried this thing, there's no way in hell that he can't survive. He can't survive this. Like, you're going to have to go the way of Donald Sterling for life.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom. All right, boys and girls, take a seat. Take out a piece of paper and a pencil. Welcome to the classroom. D and I give you a statement, and then we assign our letter grade for it. Great. The Jets win on Sunday.
Well, you know, they're 1-7 now. So, yippee. Z, it just seems like one of those things where at the end of the year, we're going to be like, how are they 3-14? Why do they beat the Bengals? Like, you know, that it seems just like that's how they're going to miss out on, like, the first or the second pick in the draft.
Right.
You know, winning stupid fucking games. But I would listen, for a team where their owner threw their quarterback under the bus, and for Aaron Glenn and all the stupid stuff he says, they played four quarters of that game, and they finished. The Bengals are a bad defensive team, but, you know, the Bengals were up. It took a gadget play to get them over the hump. It would have been easy for Fields to throw in the towel and not come to play, but he did. So I'll give him a B.
A very, very gracious grade on your behalf. I'm teetering between B minus and C plus just because the defense did give up 38 points.
To Joe Flacco.
So, yes, you scored 39, but you gave up 38. So that's giving me pause. I'm teetering towards C plus for that reason. But we're splitting hairs here. I'm going to have to, because of the offensive creativity and the gadget play of Breece Hall passing, I'm graciously bumping it up to a B minus. There was something there. They actually tried something. The New York Jets actually tried something creative. Bully for you. Good job. And you won on a day when you lost a Jet legend in Nick Mangold.
Oh, yeah.
They were to go out, if they lost that game in true Jets fashion, back up the fucking truck. Like, yeah. Jesus Christ. But they were able to survive it. Justin Fields played his ass off. He played as clean of a game as you're going to get from Justin Fields.
Yeah.
You didn't have Garrett Wilson. So you had to do what you had to do. Got creative. Breece Hall, two rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown. Take it. B minus. A-OK by me. Grade. St. John's, Michigan exhibition at the Got It on Saturday.
Yeah, so you had 13,000 people there. Game went into overtime. You know, St. John's ranked number 5. Rick Pitino and company, everyone's expecting a lot of big things from them. What did I do? I would say it was because they lost, I downgraded to a B, but they were playing Michigan and, you know, it ended close. So I'd say it was a B-plus game for an exhibition game to get that many people in the garden. I think St. John's is still trying to figure out, or I think Pitino's still trying to figure out who his lineup is going to be, but you know, you had Mitchell playing well, Ruben Prey coming off the bench playing well. You know, I'm not really worried about them offensively or defensively. I think Skip is going to get them to play really well. So I thought it was a great game. I wish I could have gotten to the game. I was offered tickets to the game. I didn't get it. I couldn't go. I was helping a buddy move. But I know a bunch of people that went, and they said they like how Sannon was playing and how everybody was playing. So it could be they're going to meet again, possibly. There's a tournament on Thanksgiving Day weekend or Thanksgiving in Vegas. And Michigan and St. John's are both in that tournament, so they might get to meet up again.
Solid B. I'll give it a solid B. 96-94 overtime. Number 5 team in the country versus number 7 team in the country. It's an exhibition. Spring training is Diet Coke. So that's it. If this was an NCAA tournament game, okay, you ratchet it up to an A. Because the stakes are not what they need to be, I'm going to take them down just a little bit. But, you know, things are looking up for St. John's, right? Coach has them playing. He seems to have his guys. And, yeah, Michigan is game as well. So I think that for an exhibition, it's what you want, right? Two big name programs in the Garden selling, you know, I think courtside was like a 2 G's or something like that. A couple of guys from my softball team picked up $10 tickets. So there were some affordable tickets there, so you could go.
$40 tickets in the 200s.
Yeah. So
that's what I passed up.
That's great. I mean, still, $40 tickets in the 200s is good for the Garden. That's really good for the Garden.
Exhibition against Michigan. That's great.
Yeah.
That's every day.
That's a great value pick. That's a great value and bang for your buck. So the only thing that would have taken it higher was if it was some legit stakes, if it was regular season, or if it was somehow in the NCAA tournament. But both teams, there are expectations for this year, and you figure that St. John's is going to go farther this year. But again, we'll see. It's still early in the preseason, and
season starts the 3rd. It's almost over, dude.
Yeah. It's still season preseason, starting. Though.
It's still, nah, still it's kind of late. Meaningless. It's late. It's late.
It's still like it's. You still have. There's still time for things to happen. Because what are we really talking about? When do we really start paying attention? Right? Not October. Not November. Basketball in general, we don't talk. I mean, December, January, college, like what? When conference tournaments start, for the most part, the casual fan, you're looking at February. So, yeah, I can wait. I'm a patient man. So I can let the season unfold. But just by looking at an exhibition game, it's fine. It's fine. A nice solid B. Those are our grades. What are yours? Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG or drop us a line on X at @faderoutednz and let us know what your grades are. But for now, class dismissed.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at thefadestorewithdnz.com. That's thefadestorewithdnz.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. You vote. And you vote, you vote, you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
Hey, dope.
That'll be Shane Bowen.
That guy.
How's this motherfucker still have a job? How? I don't understand.
By the way, I was right. They pretty much hung 40 on the Giants, but they also gave up about 20, but they definitely went to work offensively this weekend.
And so did the refs. We'll get to that in a little bit. So it should have been closer than it was. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstars Week D?
All right. My first is Ja'Cory Croxley Merritt. He is the running back, the alleged starting running back of the Washington Commanders, who is trying to head up my fantasy football team. And quite frankly, this dog shit. Dog shit. He had 25 yards this week, 33 yards last week. Dude, you gotta find running room.
I don't know. You're small. You're tiny. Darren Sproles this shit. Like, this is not getting it done. You went from scoring all these touchdowns. We had four touchdowns, and now we haven't scored in almost a month. Oof. Come on, man. And he likes to be called Bill. Bill Croxley Merritt, you are my alleged superstar of the week.
How do you get Bill from that?
I don't know where he's getting that from. I do not know.
Ja'Cory, Bill, I don't know. Nah.
Next up on my alleged superstar of the week, I have the Bengals defense, who is going up against the New York Lupus. Gave up 502 yards. They didn't sack Justin Fields once. The Jets only punted twice in the whole game. And were you even there? They had a team meeting after that? Yeah, I think we should have a team meeting. A fucking firing. Everybody needs to go. We can't stop the New York Jets
from
scoring.
Turn your key cards.
Meanwhile, Joe Flacco is out there doing his job. He's doing his job. He's throwing up tutties and not turning the ball over. Joe crushing it. And you guys, awful. Awful. Bengals defense, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, that is the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver. He decides to send a memo to all teams highlighting the issues of gambling and how they are not allowed in the NBA and will be, you know, met with tremendous punishment and penalties. Dude, you are under investigation from the Senate. You better figure it out, dude. You better figure this out. You better figure it out quick, because you're not going to have a league soon if you don't have the answers that they're looking for. Adam Silver, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
You can't argue with any of those. You can't argue with any of them whatsoever. Adam Silver, I mean, the Senate can smell corruption from a mile away. They can smell their own. But I'm going to start.
You're doing it all wrong.
God damn it. What? Didn't you learn anything? Did I teach you nothing? I am going to start with the Browns defense. One of the tops in the league. Myles Garrett, 5 sacks on Sunday. Wasn't enough. Patriots 32, Browns 13. Holy shit. Holy shit balls. Are you kidding me? Absolute basura. Browns defense, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two. The refs and Eagles, Giants. Both ways. Missed calls, the tush-push situation with the fumble, you blow the whistle afterwards, after Thibodeau pries it loose, after he establishes possession. Oh no, we stopped forward progress. What? You blew the whistle after the fumble. He snatched it out of Jalen Hurts' hands, dropped it, picked it up, and fell on it. But then we blow the whistle and establish forward progress. Okay, sure. OPI on Darius Slayton. Dude was he was barely hand checking the guy. Oh, offensive pass interference. Okay, sure. Took a touchdown off the board for the Giants. There was a roughing the passer call that was missed. There was the Zach Bond hip drop tackle on Cam Scadaboo. Like, that's illegal. Last time I checked, that's illegal. Fucking Scatterboo has a dislocated ankle. He's done for the year. So, and there goes all of the goodwill that the Giants established. Just like that. Jackson Dart has nobody to throw to. He's got nobody to run to. Yeah. It's going to be a long fucking year. But when you have former players, fans, pundits, and the former head of officiating, Dean Blandino, all coming down saying, what the fuck is going on in this game? You probably need to have a look at this crew. Who hired this crew? Roger Goodell, that's who. So, the crew that officiated Eagles-Giants, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three, I got to go with Michael Wilbon. Dude. On PTI, given the choice between a playoff game featuring Lionel Messi and regular season NBA, you're choosing the NBA? Really? Probably two meaningless games at that? What, the Wizards? The Bulls? Oh, great. Oh, joy. Fantastic. All right, I'm with you. Put the World Series on the big screen. One of those games can't have one of the best soccer players of all time. One of those little side screens. Not buying it. And on top of that, Taylor Twellman called you out too, and you're probably going to end up going to a soccer match now in Miami. Get out of the NBA bubble. There's actually good stuff outside of the NBA bubble. And that includes the MLS. Michael Wilbon, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.